It is good to have all of the people on Skype with us. We love you guys and your family, and we just want to make sure none of you are religious nuts, too, but just spiritual fruit coming out of you. Amen. All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. And I'm actually going to be sharing along the line of what Deb spoke, but I'm going to be taking it a little different angle, and that is that everything that Jesus has done on the cross is supposed to be worked in us. It's not just passive. Well, it's true. It's not just passive. It's not just, oh, okay, I don't have to worry. Rest is not being passive. Amen? I mean, rest is like there's this passion for Jesus that we rest from trying to do it all, that we're trying to find him, but then we're trying to find him in a real way on the inside of us so that Christ can be manifested through us and real in us. And frankly, the reality of Jesus digging those wells at the cross is so powerful and so true. But in a very real way, if you think about it, that applies to us. Whereas us taking the shovel of the cross and digging out anything that is still stopped up, that's for others, really not for us. And I'll show that in the scriptures, that the actual benefit of doing that, God wouldn't set it up where it's just selfish. Does that make sense? I mean, God would not set it up where it can only be about you or me. He just wouldn't do it. He sets it up so that we can manifest his spirit and his nature to others and give them Jesus also. Anyway, we'll get into all of that. But I wanted to explain it in such a way that as I got into this, I didn't just pop all your bubbles from the first go-around. Because it is true. It all is founded on Christ and in Jesus having already dug those wells. You can't, there is no other starting place. Christ and Him crucified is the start, and ultimately it's the end, but it's the end as it works within us and then manifests out to not just the people we love, but our enemies, to all. So anyway, Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And there is this reality of us coming, I mean, this is clearly speaking of us coming to him to gain this, to have access to this. But he's kind of devised it where you're not just going to get this. It's not just going to automatically come to you. It's to everyone that thirsts. It's to everyone that thirsts. And let's face it, we go through dry periods, amen? We're human. We go through dry periods. The goal isn't for Jesus to come with a watering hose and wet us down. The goal is for us to get thirsty to come to the water and to drink and to have this kind of fullness. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. And to and one way that we get dry is that we get focused on our dryness, and then we get focused on trying to fix our dryness instead of coming to the Lord. And you know how long you can be dry until you get the motivation right? Long enough to become a desert. So you want to remember, and first of all you want to know, and then you want to remember, and then you want to apply these things, because he's not just gonna magically make you feel better, less dry just because you are crying out that you're dry. He didn't say, ho, everyone that is dry. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Because everyone is dry on some level. Okay, we all need Jesus. We all need more of Jesus. And so This spirit is the spirit of approach, if you will. The spirit of approach is that we be after the Lord in a real way, and again, like the sign, if we ever get it up, not in some sort of religious way. Man, we don't need more religion in this world. We need more Jesus in his body. And frankly, we need more Jesus in us. You say, well, we got more Jesus in us than, you know, the Baptists or something, you know. Do we, if we're saying that stuff? You know, that's not the right spirit. The deal is, if we got more Jesus, then let's pour out and let's bless and let's give, not let's be more self-focused on our need and our lack in that spirit and in that sense. So another scripture on this is Psalm 42. If you'll turn there with me. Psalm 42 and verse 2. Let's do verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from the King James here. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. You know, this sounds like a really dry, messed up person to some people. But the fact that he's saying that his soul is after the Lord in this way means that there's actually some spirituality working from his spirit into his soul, that he really wants the Lord. This isn't just someone who doesn't care. And then verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I love that. When shall I come and appear before God? For the living God. I know that we all know Jesus. I know that we all know the Bible pretty well. But the living God is another thing altogether. I know that our kids hear good teaching from our teachers. But they need the living God. I need the living God. And you're not going to get that by a teaching. You're not going to get that by Brother Randy or anybody else around here just teaching. There might be certain things that do happen from that. But there has to become that longing, that panting after the Lord. And you know what? That comes a lot of times by sweeping away all the other things, or at least enough that you can start going after the Lord on a right motive basis instead of carnal Christianity, which the New Testament is full of. The epistles are full of teaching about carnal Christianity, carnal Christians, and their pursuit, and therefore they continue just to want milk. And babies want milk because they're hungry, not for the Lord, but for what can satisfy them. What can just satisfy them. It's all about them. And hopefully when you get older, it's not all about you, because then you're still a baby. You're just an older one. You know. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. All right, so then we have to make a division between a hunger or a thirst for knowledge and a thirst for the living God. Boy, people in our realm of teaching and stuff don't want it cut there. Because a lot of people in quote-unquote deeper life, they have a thirst for spiritual knowledge, not Jesus. And that thirst for spiritual knowledge or deeper knowledge is to make them look better, make them feel better, make them, in some cases, maybe many cases, feel superior. And that is the exact opposite of why we seek the Lord. I mean, that is not what we're about. And when I say we, I'm talking about, well, me and David. No, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about his family, that which is one with him. Man, And so sometimes we have to shake ourselves, you know, to shake ourselves from the dirt. New Testament scripture along this line, and Jesus speaking in John chapter 7. In verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your failures are. I don't care anything about that. I don't care if you're foreign or if any man thirst. And if you know all kinds of things, but you don't thirst, he's not talking to you. If any man thirst. So that's any of us. That's any one of us that will just say, Jesus, I want you more than I want me helped, even. Helped. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. And I like this thing of in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out. Man, everybody had to come up to Jerusalem. Everybody in Israel had to come up to Jerusalem for the feast days. Everybody came up. And so you got this week-long feast, or however long, depending on the feast. Could be longer than that, a couple of weeks. You've got everybody gathered together. Why have you come? We've come to worship the Lord. You know, well, why have you come? Well, we're all gathered here to find the Lord. Well, why have you come? You know. But Jesus is crying at the end of the feast and saying, look, if anybody, is there anybody that really, really is here for me, to thirst after me, come on. It's the last day, but it ain't over with. Isn't that cool? You know, I always look at it like a prize fight. You know, if it's a 15-rounder or something like that. And, you know, you go in there and you're thinking, I'm going to win this fight. You know, I'm going to do good and all this stuff. And you get in there and the guy starts knocking you all over the place. And you lose the first round. And then you go in the second round and, you know, he knocks you all over the ring again. And this just keeps happening up to the 14th round. You're getting ready to go in for the 15th round, and every round that guy has just knocked you all over the thing. I mean, the scorecard is just so much in this other guy's favor. And you get in there, and with one swing, you hit him and knock him out. You win the fight. In other words, what appears lose, 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 win. All right, so, you know, there's this reality of not giving up because we're going after Jesus. We're not trying to win. We're going to get Jesus. I saw a cartoon, some of you probably seen it recently, of it says underneath it, never give up, and it's a stork with his mouth open. You know how they have the long bills and stuff, his mouth open, and this frog is halfway down his throat. And his legs are sticking out, but his arms are around the throat of the stork. I went, yeah, never give up. But I mean, you know, let's be real. There is within us, maybe even here, the potential to maybe give up, and in giving up, we say we're not giving up, but we're giving up that hot pursuit after the Lord. And in doing that, all that we're going to do if we've really given up on the inside on a certain front, on this area or this area. I'm not talking about all giving up on Jesus. I'm talking about giving up in this area or that area. You understand what I'm saying? We have areas, don't we? We have areas. All of us have areas. And you just don't give up. You just don't give up. You just keep, you know, knowing that, you know, there's still one more round, or there's still, you know, there's still more rounds to go here, and Jesus can knock that guy out in the final seconds of the very last thing. And, you know, he's notorious for doing that. Did you know that? I mean, he really is. You got to, once you get to know him, you'll know how he works. I mean, Israel leaving Egypt, they go, we're free, you know, and they get to the Red Sea, and then they realize they got two mountains on either side, and the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army's coming at the only open door. And, of course, all the people are going, what is going on, man? God, why would you? This is just torment. You're just teasing us, man, to deliver us out of Egypt and bring us right to this point and then have us destroyed right here. This is wrong, man. You know, just be quiet or the thing will never open. He'll be glad to have Pharaoh take care of you. You know? Moses knows. Somebody knows. Praise God. Somebody knows. And he says, just stand still. You know, I mean, some people, you know, I mean, this is the beginning of the journey. Do you realize all through the wilderness for 40 years, these people murmured and complained about him and God all the time? You know? Yeah. I can just see at the end of it, instead of saying stand still and see, it's shut up and see. You know, I mean, some people just keep complaining so much that I can see the Lamb on the throne saying, just shut up! Man, you have provoked really bad folks when you get the Lamb saying that. Stop doubting and the murmuring and all of the junk that rises. Keep going. And he's faithful. It may not be to the last second, but he is faithful and he's true. It's what's written on his vesture when he comes back. And we'll go, yep. And, you know, but we keep doubting. Many of you here know, you know, for years, and we still do, we would give financial reports at the end of the year. And Deb would say, you know, well, you know, let's just say 10,000 came in and 9,000, you know, 800 and da 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 was spent, you know. So we end up with, most of the time, we end up with like $5, you know, at the end of the year, you know. And for years, y'all remember, I would stand up at those meetings and go, oh my God, we barely made it. And I was getting ready for 1 year and was going to say the same thing because the paperwork still looked exactly the same. The Lord said, would you quit saying that? You barely made it. Say, we always make it. And it, you know, and we do. I mean, this is a miracle. You do know that, don't you? I mean, you've seen the offering plates, right? You know, we could use communion cups for offering plates. You know. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living waters. Okay, folks, that when we come to Jesus and we're drinking of him and refreshed, he does something really miraculous. When we do that, when we're faithful only to put him first and to go after him and to say, I thirst after you. But when we do that, all of a sudden, there's something miraculous that begins to happen in us. We get filled up and rivers flow out to other people. People start getting from the rivers that we're, from the water that we're drinking. And it starts going beyond ourselves, even if, and here's the deal, if our motive was only Jesus, if it ends up being Jesus, it's going to be for others. That's his spirit. That's his way. That's his nature. But when you realize that, when you really realize that these rivers are for others, then you realize, you know what, I need to be cautious. I need to be cautious. I need to, because I'm, if this is for others, then my hunger first is for Jesus, and I keep that up, but I don't want it to become stopped up in me, because if it stops up in me, and I'm supposed to be rivers or Christ in me flowing out to others, then it stops up for others, and what kind of domino effect can that have, you know? And so, you know, I saw a show the other day, and it had this guy, it was a Western, and this guy was on his horse, and he was out in the desert, and there wasn't any water and everything, and so he got off his horse just to check. It looked like a place might have a little water if you could dig. Got out to check, and he checked it, and you know, I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm going, don't let go of that rein, because a horse can smell water, and a cow, but if, you know, they can smell water a long way away, and I'm going, don't let go of that rein, because if he smells water, he's going to take off. And he smelled water, and he took off. And now the guy's in a desert with no horse, and a horse with no name. Yeah, anyway. And so, you know, the other part of that is that if that horse smells that water, then he's going to take off, and he's going to go to that water, and the horse doesn't know the difference if it's poisonous or not. He's just thirsty. So he's going to go there, and he's going to drink. All right, so what am I getting at with that? There's a difference between stagnant water and flowing water. You know that, don't you? I mean, there's a big difference. I mean, stagnant water can make people sick. I mean, I'm talking about you and me now. You do really. I mean, I want to bring you in now to what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about horses and water. We're talking about if we're not getting that water from Jesus and that living water isn't flowing out of us, then guess what? The water's still there inside of us. You do realize it, but it becomes stagnant. It's not flowing, you know. And the great thing about flowing water is it literally heals itself of impurities by just flowing. It just heals itself. And I think, and this is my opinion, I think there are so many, I'm just trying to think of how to verbalize this. There are so many ways of getting healed, but we only, and I mean literally physically and spiritually and in our souls, but we look to only one way. God, heal me. God, heal me. A miracle. We want God to heal me. Well, I believe in that, and I've got no problem with that. But what if there was a whole bunch of living ways, like the water's healing the impurities out of it just by flowing? What if there was all kinds of other ways that he made into nature that he it's a spiritual principle that if we would walk in life and in relation and in love, so many things would actually be healed. And we just keep, you know, we're looking for, we're going, Lord, I want to stay stagnant, heal my waters. Does that make sense? You know, I just want to be stagnant. So, you know, I believe in healing, heal my waters. And you remember the example of Moses when the children of Israel was one of the first big problems they had. They got out in the wilderness there after they left Egypt, and, you know, they're out of water. And then they come to this place where the water is bitter because the people were bitter. Yeah, okay. So his example, God's example was, okay, well, take this tree and put it in the water. And it'll become sweet. Apply the tree, apply the cross. And it's not going to be a miraculous healing. It's not Moses, take your stick, your rod, and hit that water and it'll go, woo, now it's sweet. It's the sweetest water around, you know. No, he's wanting healing in so many ways to come by relating to him, by relating by the cross, by relating to him in that manner. But we won't look there. We keep looking for, you know, us staying bitter, but him making us sweet with no effort on our part. And when I say effort, I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking, you know, understand what Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But he wraps a yoke around you. And he says, learn of me. You're in this yoke not to get out of anything, but to learn me, period. For I am, and if you learn me, you will be too. I am meek and lowly. Then you'll find, but we go, well, you say, come unto me. I'm here. Do it. And then he wraps a yoke around us, and we don't take one step. We just gripe about how heavy it is. Well, what is this? This ain't rest. Here we go again, you know. I'm telling you, you're hacking off the Lamb of God. You're going to make him. He can only take so much. All right, so let's go to Psalm 63 and look at another verse there. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. I like that. Because some of us were here on a Sunday night when we were just talking and sharing, a bunch of us, and we were talking about the difference between O God and, you know, God, meaning Lord or Lord God or O Lord. And the O God a lot of times is Oh God, you know what I mean? Like, this is how we call on, this is, you know. And you see that a lot in the Psalms, and it starts this way. Oh God. Oh, Lord, help. You know, it's always got a help thing to, oh God. But even if this one has a help thing, he goes, oh God. And then he goes, my God, thou art my God. And he moves past just, look, you're a guy with resources that can make me comfortable and happy. Oh, God, help me, you know, to, oh, God, and then a recognition, but you're my God. I am my beloved, and he is mine. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. I like that because I believe there's spiritual meaning to a whole lot of this stuff. I believe to seek the Lord early is to start the sun rising. It's spiritual. It's the rising of the sun. This is the beginning of the rising of the sun. See, you don't say, late will I seek you in that sense. And, you know, it's like, now I'm going to start the process. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth. And, of course, the ETH on the end of thirst means I am in a state of, I'm not just having a moment. You know, oh, it's an altar call. Yes, I can go down there and feel spiritual and then go back to what I was before. You know, I really appreciate altar calls and stuff like that. But I don't believe that they're made for events or just momentary touchings. I believe they're meant just like any altar in the Old Testament. It's meant to put something to death so that something sweet can rise to the Father. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. I like that because it's like his soul thirsts, but his flesh is almost the dry and thirsty land where no water is. But I don't want to be no longer dry. I want this coming out of me. All right, so kind of referring to something that Deb said. I mean, how can our waters become stagnant in the first place? Well, that's happens when we start getting clogged up, if you will. We have the water in us, you know. I mean, the water of life is there, but it's certainly not flowing. It becomes stagnant. And the scripture that Deb actually was, the Lord was using her, was over in Genesis 28. Genesis 28, and this is the one about Isaac. Or, I'm sorry, 26. 26 and verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So here you have wells that are there, but they're not flowing. They're not satisfying anybody's thirst. They're not doing anything there. As far as the surface look of these wells, they look like they don't exist. Are y'all following me? They look like they don't exist. Are there wells there? Yes. Are they having any kind of an impact? No. Can you be happy as God's dirt that you have a well in you? Yes and no. Yes, thank God that there is water there. No, I'm not satisfied just for my sake. I want it to flow out for others. Well, Abraham was a man of God. Abraham was a man of God, and he was sent by God to the promised land. He was sent there, and this was where, you know, he was supposed to live. But instead of living on the surface, which this promised land represents Christ, instead of living on the surface, he decided to dig down into that land. And a land that looked like it was dry or barren in certain ways, Abraham kept finding water. Now, just to be honest with you, how hard do you think it would be to just dig somewhere and find water? Pretty hard. You know, they used to have those divining rods and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, it's not an easy thing. I mean, to dig a well on anybody's property, 9 times out of 10, you have to have what do they call them? There's a particular name where they have to come out and check everything to see if the ground is actually even possible to have water underneath it. Aquifers, rivers, you know. I mean, that's what's under our United States and the whole world. There are aquifers and huge, vast rivers flowing underneath us. You know, and so he said, man, I'm not going to live on the surface. I'm going to dig down and I'm going to find what's deep in this promised land. Isn't that cool? Because the promised land to him was more than just he gained some cattle and he gained this and I'm going to live for God on the surface. Do you understand? I mean, you check it out and find out how many wells he dug. He dug a lot of wells. A lot. Because he was always digging down deeper to bring what is deep within the promised land up to the surface, to keep alive, to refresh that which is his. And if I could right now, and I can't, but if I could right now, I would have like 4 buckets of ice cold water here. And I would just take it and I'd just throw it. And you'd say, oh, this is so refreshing. Ice cold. Or you'd be going, oh my God, he woke me up. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just telling you what I'd like to do. So with the Lord, he found rivers of living water that was below the surface. And there needs to be a thirst for us to dig deeper, to find the Lord, to bring up the Lord, the depths of the Lord. Because there's still depths. I know all of you are deep and spiritual and, you know, you're just incredibly wise. I know that. I bow before it. But there's still depths of Christ for us to know. And those depths, it's funny because you have to dig down, so you have to dig into depths, but it's not about depths. It's about reaching him in a way that he'll flow more out of us to others. Does that make sense? But we go, oh, I got depths. You know how deep my well is? Yeah, but do you have any water coming up? Well, no, but I got the deepest well in North Texas. You know. All right, so this scripture says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped him up. The Philistines had stopped him up. All right, what does that mean? What is that referring to? Well, there were, first of all, let's just look at the natural. There were Philistines in the land, right? But this was God's land, right? And you look later, I mean, this is early. They haven't even possessed the land. You know, Israel isn't even going to grow up there. They're going to grow up down in Egypt and be brought back to it. All the way to the time of David, you remember Goliath? Goliath comes out and he says, this land is our land. This land is our land. Anyway, and it wasn't. God gave them the land. And all of Israel was afraid when Goliath came out because they went, well, he's big. And David looks at him and says, he's wrong. He said, you're wrong. This is not your land. God gave it to us. It's already ours. So you're going down. And he did. And he did. But David did it on the right basis. He didn't just go, well, you're strong, but I've been working out. Yeah, which would look really stupid, wouldn't it? For David go, look at my muscle, you know. Well, we do that stuff spiritually. We do that stuff spiritually. We go, okay, well, I'm in the Word, so I'm strong. It's not based on you. If you're in the Word, get strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not get strong in yourself. This isn't about you. It's about Him, and it's about the well becoming rivers. The well becoming rivers. That's what the Scriptures are talking about. All right, so let's see how some of this relates. Let's go back to New Testament Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. All right, what is that saying? Well, you'd say, well, it's saying the night is far spent. And no, I mean, what is the meaning of it? You know, what is the application of it? I don't care if we know, we look at the scripture and go, I think I understand that verse. It's not understanding, it is what does it mean in an application to living by Christ to the glory of God the Father? Well, the night is far spent. It's over with. The darkness is gone. The day is at hand. But look what he says next. He doesn't say, so let's just walk around passively and rejoice that everything is going to happen the way God wanted it or the way you wanted it. He doesn't say that. He says, let us, therefore, based on that. If you ever see the word therefore, you need to know why it's there for. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Wait a minute. I thought he said the night was far spent. I thought he said the day is at hand. What is this cast off darkness? What is this deal? Well, this deal is the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Act like it, or let's apply it. That's what we mean. Apply it. It's not, when I say act like it, I don't mean act like daylight. I mean act on the fact that Jesus by the cross has removed that, and that you believe that so much that you're going to take the power of Christ crucified and you're going to apply it to any darkness, any inhabitants left in the land. Because remember, the land already belonged to Israel, but the Philistines were still there. And God said, I gave you the land, now cast them out. And when Joshua came in, the ones that they did cast out, they cast out on that principle. But later on then, by the time they got up to David, they're just trying to overpower, out, fight, be stronger than the enemy, and they don't even have the right basis anymore. But David did. So David defeats the guy. Because it's not on the basis of your strength or your size or your abilities. As long as we're looking at ourselves, looking at our circumstances, focusing on things that don't matter. And look how they mocked David. They mocked him, his own brothers, but not just his own brothers, folks. It says, yea, said they all there. They all were mocking him. And he's going, look, this is the basis. This is the foundation for defeating the Philistines. You know, it doesn't matter if he's a giant or just a Philistine or a bobcat. This is the word of God. And I believe it and I apply the word of God. And I stand on that and I'm not going to be moved. Well, what do you do the next day if Goliath shows back up? I don't care. It's over with. And you take the rock of the word and you apply it to his head, and you'll see something begin to happen. But if you don't, you're going to be like all of Israel. And they're standing there huddled together, shivering, going, oh, you know, because he'd come out every day. And go, yeah, come on, give me a man. Come on, give me somebody. And they're going, oh my God, nobody can. And they're in fear, and they're dealing with fear because they're dealing with it, the situation, on a wrong basis. There is no need to fear in light of if Isaac has already dug the wells, then the water, all we got to do is apply the shovel, the cross, the cross. Yes. I am crucified with Christ. Enemy, this is God's ground now. This is not your ground. You're done. You're far spent. Say, well, I tried that. I did. I tried it. It didn't work for me. I'm glad it works for you, brother, but it didn't work for me. It works for everybody. It's the Word of God. So what are we going to do? We're going to get in a habit of going, well, you know, that apparently that part of the Word doesn't apply to me. Once you do that, you're going to do it for anything that doesn't seem to fit right off, you know. Well, these two don't, this bolt and this screw doesn't work together. Just trust the Lord. If He handed you both of them, it's going to go together. Stop acting like you know everything. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm willing to admit I don't know everything. I don't have it all together. But doggone it, the Word of God is true. Let God be true and every man be a liar. I don't want to be a liar. You're a liar. If you're going against the Word of God. This Word, He's exalted, He's magnified His Word above His name. At His name, every knee shall bow. So what about His Word magnified above His name? But we take it lightly. We're not, you know, when I read something that doesn't fit or whatever, I go, okay, I got a messed up mind, you know. I'm trying to put the round shape of God's mind and His by means of His Word into a triangular peg. And I'm taking a hammer and I'm going, well, this doesn't fit. No, it doesn't fit into your mind. Let this mind be in you. Let His mind be in you. Stop going by your mind. Still glad I'm preaching this morning? Yes. Well, until I get a reaction, I'm going to go until then. Just be prepared. Just keep it rolling. Because I ain't letting you out of here until something happens here. This guy, people are going, ha! We can walk off right now. All right, so in truth, folks, the land is ours. Jesus bought and paid for it through His blood, through His death. But we, some of us, all of us still have old inhabitants in there. And they need to be driven out. They need to be driven out by the Word of God and by the cross of Christ and the application of those. In our scripture in Genesis, Isaac digged again the well of water, the wells that Abraham, again, meaning he knew water was already there. You know water is already in you. Okay? It's there. You don't have to question that. It just has to be unstopped. You just have to start applying the shovel, which is the cross, and removing it in that way. The scriptures in Romans talk about, it says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. There's no mention of the devil there. Right? There's no mention of the devil there. Then what is the problem? The problem is the Philistines and the dirt. But the Philistines are gone. You don't have to get unplugged, you don't have to refight the Philistines. You just have to redig the well. Is that good news?
Yes.
There's your rest right there. You don't have to fight the enemy for it. All you got to do is start digging. All you got to do is start going after it. What is digging? Going after it. Going after it. What else is digging? It's getting everything out of the way that's between you and the flow of life. What does that mean? Working hard? No. That means that the shovel is the cross and every bit of dirt is saying, I am crucified with Christ, or you enemy is defeated, or da-da-da-da, and you just keep that word going and the word of the cross, and it'll start removing all of this stuff, and all of a sudden, the well, what did he say, will be in you as rivers of living water. Do you see? I've got that here somewhere. I should look for that. It's John 4. Did you have a comment? John 4. Look there with me. This is a great scripture. All right. Okay. Lay it on us. That's John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. All right, notice this. There's the water halfway through that scripture, but the water that I shall give him shall... Notice the word be. Anybody have a Scofield Bible here? If you do, in the margin, the word be is what? Anybody got a Scofield? The word be is shall become. This is John 4:14. And you're fired. Yeah. The word be there in mine, literally, it says literally is become, which means the water shall become a well and the well shall become a river. In other words, say what again? Okay, the water shall become a well and the well shall become a river. Okay, because if you got water in there and then you dig it, it becomes a well. But it'll flow up and spring up unto everlasting life. All right. So, water in you becomes a well from which you drink, and you never have to go to the well like the woman at the well. You never have to go there and draw again. It's in you. All you got to do is draw from what is Christ within you, and you in Christ. But that doesn't do anybody any good but you unless you dig it to such a degree that it springs up. Okay. We have that out at the ranch. There's a creek that runs right through the middle of the ranch. And just on the property next to us, that water is coming from a spring that's coming up out of the ground. And the 80-year-old guy that has property next to us said he has never seen. He says he's lived there through drought and everything else. He says, I've never seen this creek not flowing. It's a well, but it not just a well, it's a spring that has sprung up and it just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. And anyone who comes along can drink of that because it's fresh, it's clean, it's pure. There are no cows between you and it. Okay, some of you got that, you know. Yes.
I met a man in Arkansas who, everyone digs a well at 100 foot or whatever. But he had a well that was 300 foot deep. And he had dug that well on purpose. And the guy who dug it told him, use all the water. The more you use the water,
Yeah.
So just what you're talking about,
Amen. Amen. So I think what Jesus is saying is that the water is there. The water is there, but it shall become something more. All right. How many of us have really understood that, really on a personal basis? How many of us have understood that what we have of the Lord and what is true of His life within us, we've understood that it's a well and it feeds us or it quenches our thirst. And we, as it were, because of the reality of it so strong in some of us, we never thirst. But He says it shall become something more. It shall become rivers of waters to other people. Now, I go back to what I was saying at the first, you know. If you don't, you know, water that sits stagnant, if it's not flowing at all, it stagnates, and stagnation can lead to poison, and here it is. We can unknowingly, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, we can unknowingly be poisoning people because we're not flowing. We don't have that flow of life. And so it's stagnant waters. It's just like a moldy manna. Same principle. It's stagnant. The manna, God told them, I want you to go out every day and pick it up new. You know what I mean? That's a daily relationship. He didn't say, go out with a big sack and collect enough for the week. He wouldn't allow that. Because if you did, what happened to the manna if you left it over a day? It'd become wormy. You know? So He's saying, you know, that this water within us can become stagnant. And I fear, and I don't fear necessarily here, but I fear that there are people that it's sat so long and is so stagnant that what they share with people doesn't have life. It has, you know, if it doesn't have germs in it, if it doesn't have poison in it, it's got little wiggly things. You know. And maybe parasites and other stuff. Well, I don't want to be that way. You know what I mean? I mean, my motivation has to be the Lord. You understand that? You're digging for the Lord. But that's why we began talking the way that we did, saying, you know, that there needs to be a renewed passion. There needs to be this desire after the Lord that it's not just based on being dry. Anybody remember me saying that? It's based on me being thirsty. Ho, everyone, the thirst hath come. And He talks about this abundance that will come from that. But if we're not thirsty, then guess what? No wonder the well within us is stagnant, because we're stagnant. And then stuff is seeping out of us that is, it may be the water of life, but it's got other things, you know. I mean, all kind of stuff can happen. There are minerals, even in the rocks and stuff, if it's stagnant, it can get in there and mess with it. There's parasites, there's, you know, all this stuff. Animals pooping in it, or it's an animal dying and being in it. You know, we go, well, it was just one animal. Let's see, I think it's called cholera. You know, it's just one animal. It's cholera, for God's sake. That's what that is. That's what that results in. And people die. We go, well, all I did was share a little bit about, you know, I just shared a little of my cholera water with them. You know. But, I mean, you see how we justify things. My God, I mean, don't ever be satisfied to go, well, I'm just going through a dry period. Oh. Okay, fine, but what was one of the first ones we read? Oh God, my God, I seek after You like a dry and thirsty land. Not, you know, Lord, send the rain. Just send the rain. Well, what are you going to be doing? Same stuff I was doing that got me dry in the first place. I'm just going to continue. And I know that you understand my heart. You know my heart. Yeah, it's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? I don't even know it. It's so deceitfully wicked. Well, he said, who can know it? But I'm telling you, you know, if it's stagnant, I mean, it can be a swamp, you know what I mean? And to remedy that is not to let it be idle anymore, is to start digging, and in digging, it's applying the cross and it's applying the word. And what it's doing is our mind is being renewed, and it's like a dam that slowly parts are coming down and everything, and all of a sudden the water starts going over the top, and then it starts taking stuff out so that it can flow more. You know what I mean? We go, it's a mammoth task. It's this big old huge dam of dirt. Anyway, I didn't say anything but dam of dirt. That's my wife laughing like she knows what I was going to say. And we look at the mammoth task and we go, oh, I could never get rid of all of this. You know, just get up there and start digging enough to where the water gets to the edge. Once it starts rolling, oh, baby, man. Does anybody really know how powerful water is? It is powerful, powerful, powerful. Incredible power in water, especially moving water. All of a sudden, it starts clearing, boom, boulders and stuff that you could never move. But what is the key? The key, it can't be man-made thinking that says, okay, I want boulders cleared out, and the method I'm going to use is water, because water's powerful and it can move boulders. No, you have to say, I want the Lord, and let it have whatever effect it has on everything else. Like I said, moving water purifies, and it moves junk, and it does all this stuff. But we're praying, we're going, you know, purify me. Well, good luck with that, apart from the flow of the water, you know. And we're going, Lord, I've got boulders and stuff that's in the way and all this stuff. And we're all wrapped up in how messed up we are, instead of looking to Jesus is just the answer to my soul, not the answer to my problems. Anyway. Yes.
One way to say, sex can do so many different things. But one thing that came to mind as you were talking was how the becoming so familiar with the teaching of the cross, the teaching of the life of Christ, we think we know that already. So we go, oh, I know that already. And something just kind of shuts down because our mind is used to the sensory input of the words. Or maybe we saw it in the word, I don't know. But then we know that already. And once we know that already, that's when it's stagnant. Because even though the word's always the same, and it's always going to be about the cross, and it's always going to be about Christ in us, that moving flow keeps it new and fresh all the time. And then we say, I know it already, we are stagnant. We have what's already poisoned. The life isn't just that we have the right message. The life is that it's always outflowing. You know, that's what keeps it clean and pure, not that we know it all. And so that's a really good indicator, I think, of if there's poison in the water.
Yeah, Jim?
I was thinking about this fountain out here that you cleaned out and it's so steep that it flows all the time. But all it's doing is recirculating stale water. Freshness is not getting down deep, the newness. You're circling back, just circulates the old stuff. That very simple functionality you're saying.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, it just really is a situation where the best remedy for any problem is just to be hungry for the Lord. Really, and just to really want the Lord, and to pick up our Bible and go, you know, I just want you. And if I don't get you by this reading, I'm going to come back That's like digging. I'm going to read some more. I'm going to dig until it starts bursting out of here. Praise God. And just stay with it and don't quit. And remember that it's a 15-round fight. You know? The Lord's going to manifest His victory in your life. Don't get discouraged. Don't get passive. Anybody want to just pray about this? If anybody wants to, just come on up here and we'll just have a quick prayer together. We won't make a big deal out of it. We're just saying we want Jesus. And if you want to keep this flow and this thing, then get up here. Come on in close. We'll just... Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, You are life. You are our life. You are waters of life already in us. You're already there. We don't have to try to make that happen. We just need to dig it out. Dig in the Word and apply Your Word and believe Your Word and stand on Your Word and keep going and keep going with faith and expectation, not to lose our expectation. Lord, You are faithful, and we are not, but we can have hearts that land upon You and become revived again, and our pursuit can, our pace in our pursuit can pick up again. So, Lord, I just pray for all, not just these that are here, but those on Skype and any others who are listening to this, that You will minister to us, Lord, an invigoration for life, a new commitment for life, to find You fresh and real, and to be refreshed in it.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to swim in the living waters. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, just... as Pastor, as Deb and I are about to go, I just cover this church. I cover each individual. Lord, I just ask You to protect them. I use whatever authority You've given me for their protection, their security. And Father, that that while I'm gone, Lord, and many others are going to be gone from different times, that Your hand, Jesus, Your nail-scarred hand will be upon them. And that You will, like a shelter from the storm, You will keep them. And Lord, that they will be stirred in their spirit.
Yes, Lord.
To pursue You.
Yes.
Even while I'm gone.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, to just go after You, Lord. To find the time to bow their heart before You, to kiss Your feet, Your nail-scarred feet in Your hands, and just communicate from their heart to You that they do love You and they want You. Lord, let that flow happen while I'm gone. Let it purify and cleanse. Let it... for some, let it rise to such a degree that even boulders begin to be moved.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes.
And Father, I just thank You for Your love for this flock. You said to this flock, "Fear not, little flock." For it gives the Father good pleasure to give You the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, to give them Your government, Jesus. So, Father, I ask You to forgive any sins that individuals have committed. Forgive them and wipe their slate clean. Let Your blood, the power of Your blood, not just wipe away their sins, but their guilt, Lord, and remove all of the stains so that they can know that You have died to bring them to You and have them in this manner and greater. And that they are to you not just those who have water, not just those that have wells, but those that have rivers that are meant to flow. For our lives are not about us. It's about you first and others. So, Lord Jesus, bless them. Bless them and minister. Lord, bless our gathering tonight. May we continue in this spirit and even greater as we pursue you together, as we stand together, as we love together, as we need together. But, Father, we are together. You've joined us and you've knit us. We're not alone and we're not separate. We're not just a bunch of individuals gathered. We are your body. We are the vessel of your life together. Hallelujah. And Father, in a body, hands or eyes or different members get used more than other members, but all members are needed for that body to live and survive and do what's called for. The important thing, Father, is that you be the life of each member. And you are that, Jesus. Jesus, you are the life of each of us here. Yes. We cling to one another. We cling to your plan and your heart, Jesus. Father, we cling to you as the Son that is within us. Receive us now in newness of walk and newness of life. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hug somebody. Bless them.